In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory. Okay, chickens, I've remembered. It was Last Tango in Halifax. That's the name of the show. Sarah Lancashire is the star of that, and Happy Valley. And Nina Sasanya is the actor who was in Fear Her. Anyway, I remembered Sarah Lancashire, but I had to look up the rest on the internet. She's also in my favorite show from last year, which is Julia. Oh, I loved Julia. She played Julia Child. She's so good. You've got to go and watch it. It's on the internet somewhere. I think Binge has it here in Australia, or Max, I think, if you're in different countries. Who knows? Different countries have different things. Just go and just... I use this thing called Plex, which tells you what's where it's streaming, where you live. And then you're meant to be able to click on it in Plex, but whatever I click on, for some reason, it opens the SBS on demand app. And I'm like, that's not helping. Anyway, we're in Matt's missive, and we're up to the end of season two, which means we're in for a rough ride. It's already got a mention this week when I was devastated by just hearing the music in the concert. Anyway, Army of Ghosts and Doomsday. As Matt says, it's what we've always dreamt of, the Daleks versus the Cybermen. What a shame the Cybermen are such a flaming pushover. They always are, though, Matt. Like, they always have the terrible plans, and then it always falls apart, and it's just... It's very on brand for them to not be any good. I mean, look, you know, you used to be able to... He used to be able to kill them with a maths badge. Oh, my God. We've got to watch Earthshock one day. I killed him with a maths badge. It's all right. I don't know who I'm shouting to. Like, this room is empty. I'm just shouting across the room to no one. I've killed him with a maths badge. My neighbors must think I'm insane. They really do. They used to bang on the wall sometimes when I'd be podcasting. I've had to go into a different room. So, a rip-roaring season finale, Matt says, which has everything, including the kitchen sink thrown at it. From Peggy and EastEnders to the return of the cyber alternate universe, it's a closing two-parter that delivers happy endings for everyone, from Jackie and Pete to Jake and Mickey, who I bet is filling more than just Ricky's shoes. Oh, my God. There is got to be fan fiction about this somewhere, Matt says. This is very inappropriate. I remember spending the week between episodes debating what could possibly be in the Genesis arc, with everything getting an airing from Davros, the Master, or another Doctor, to the usual suspects of Susan, the Rani, or a Vord. Why is it always Susan and the Rani? They always come up. But it's Rose's departure that hits hardest. Oh, yeah. Possibly the most emotional departure since Joe Grant. You can't underestimate the importance of the companion role in the success of the new series, and Billy Piper speedily became a fan favourite. So much so, this is far from the last we'll see of her. Oh, my God, Matt. Just, like, I mean... Yeah, you can't really put into words how hard this hit. Like, to the point where I think I've only watched it twice because it's hard. It's really difficult. But yeah, it's such a... I mean, and I kind of loved it at the time. Like, the whole ghosts thing was exciting. I'm like, what is going on? Oh, my God. Tracy Ann Oberman running Torchwood. I adored her. Like, I thought she was so camp and so over the top and so kind of like, you know, that sort of new British, you know, but kind of like Queen and Empire kind of weirdness that was going on, which, you know, eventually led to Brexit. So let's not talk about that too much. But, you know, she kind of represented that sort of attitude. And I loved her as a character because she was so... awful, but so sunny and fun with it. Like, it was, it's you know, it's Russell T. Davis. He's such a great writer. And great performance. I mean, you can see why he dragged her back for It's a Sin. She's so good. I don't know if you know, but, like, she's a recurring character in the Torchwood Big Finish audios, which, why wouldn't you? I know she does get turned into a Cyberman at the end of this, but they've got, like, a reason for it. It's a fun excuse, and they work it well. Which, if you've watched this episode, you'll know exactly what the twist is. Not giving too much away. But, yeah, oh, like, these two episodes, it's a real gut punch. On to The Runaway Bride. Matt says, it didn't take long to get to a point where Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without a Doctor Who Christmas special. Well, until Chris Grinchnell came along and moved them all. Chris Grinchnell, I can't believe you. You know, that wasn't his decision. Like, if you've listened to the, what's that Canadian podcast I listened to? Was it Radio Free Scaro? Where they did an interview with him. And he said that was a decision from the BBC. And I think this is just like, you know, it was probably Stephen Moffat and Russell T. Davis constantly pushing back, going, no, we want it on Christmas. We want it on Christmas. We want it on Christmas. And Chris Chibnall's just gone, oh, all right, stop bugging me. Just move it. Whatever. which I get, because, like, who wants to spend the time they should be writing having meetings? It's, like, seriously, there are so many meetings when you make television. I can't even explain to you. Like, I know it's called show business, but there's very little show. It's a lot of business. Like, it's a lot of business. It should be called show admin, because there's so much admin that needs to be done. Oh, my God, I've got to fill this in. I've got to fill that in. I've got to do a, what do you call it, a risk assessment. It's a lot. Anyway, Matt says, what a Christmas present in the form of Donna's first appearance. Catherine Tate's casting caused the usual ripples of concern amongst Who fandom, in inverted commas, like when Bonnie Langford first turned up, and look how much everyone loves her now. Now, admittedly, a series of this Donna may not have worked. Thankfully, she was toned down a little, but more of that another day. There's so much to love here. It's unashamedly Christmassy. The Rachnos, Sarah Parrish, is one of the most incredible creature creations the show has ever done. And there's a first foreshadowing mention of Mr. Saxon. This is what Christmas specials should be all about. And I, for one, can't wait for them to return. Robot Santas, bring them back! Matt's very excited about the Christmas special coming up. I mean, the first one we're getting is Shooty Cut was first episode. I hope it's not like David Tennant's first episode where he's in bed all day. That would be distressing. I don't know who it's going to be about if he's in bed. But yeah, so Matt sums up season two. After the huge success of the first series that, let's be honest, no one really expected, the second season was always going to be difficult, especially when you add a new Doctor into the mix. But we needn't have worried. Season two is so much better than the first and gave us a Doctor that would rival Tom Baker for instant recognition in our favourite show. Doctor Who fans became less isolated and more in demand as the general public wanted to pick our brains about the series. How can you possibly fail to love a season which gave us Cybermen, Ood, and Sarah Jane Smith coming back? But would it be even harder for a third season to repeat the magic once more? Oh, my God, don't give me a cliffhanger, Matthew. You're forward teasing the next series. It's like you're working in radio. Oh my God. My friend Justin and I sometimes forward sell a conversation because we go for a walk around Centennial Park. A couple of times a week. And so it's always, sometimes we'll have like a little phone conversation where we're like, hey, I'm going to tell you this when we catch up. It's like, what? Forward selling a story. It's weird. But I do agree, Matt, on the production values kind of went up a notch in the second series. David Tennant and Billy Piper worked together in a way I wasn't expecting, because I thought we were going to get, there was such a kind of frisson between Christopher Eccleston's Doctor and Billy Piper's Rose that I was like, oh no, is it going to be weird? And, you know, like the viewers, like she's such a great viewpoint character, Rose, that, you know, like us, she's kind of wary about him. Like, you know, she's like, oh, I don't trust that new hand and all of that kind of business. It's like, is it the Doctor? Which I'm, you know, is kind of echoing back to what we saw in The Power of the Daleks, which was the first Patrick Troughton series, the one we did the cartoon version of, way back when in the dawn of time. I feel like it's... It is more exciting and it's more fun, but there's like the dud episodes kind of feel a bit more difficult. And also there's kind of no second layer. There's no subtext to anything. And I kind of really loved that about that first series, but I guess that first series kind of, you know, was written with the idea that there may not be another one, and let's make it one big kind of really, you know, packed bit of business. Whereas this one, it's just like, oh yeah, it's an adventure series now. Let's just keep going with it. We will continue with Matt's Missive in the next episode, and we're barreling on into season 3.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.